Isaiah 30. I mean, there's some things that have really been on my heart. Number one, when we heard the word last week, we just, do you want to be healed? The Lord hasn't let up. He's changing something in my heart. He's changing the atmosphere because, see, as He's been speaking that word to me, He's been reminding me, and I've been just in prayer. I just said, Lord, I'm just coming into an agreement with you. Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. I want to be made well. Because, see, when He spoke that to the lame man there at the pool of Bethesda in John 5, there was something that happened. It wasn't just the physical healing. Why? Because when Jesus released him, He said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more, then nothing else worse will happen to you. So He was addressing not just the physical, but having the old to be made well, you have to address the whole thing. Spirit, soul, and body. He was addressing something that was more than just, because otherwise He would have had no reason to say that, because of the physical thing was addressed, it was fixed, and the man was going on. No, there was something He addressed in his soul that had to be changed too. And I think there's a time for us to just say, Lord, I want to be made well, no matter what it is whatever's holding me back from my promotion, whatever's holding me back from my engaging you and my engaging and coming into you in the way that you've asked for me to. Anything that's holding me back, Father, I want to be made well. Whatever it takes, I want to be made well. Because see, when we do that, there's a commission of God that is released. When we do that, there's an opportunity for the Lord to begin working into your life and begin to release something new over you. When we begin to allow Him, say, I want to be made well, now we're coming into an agreement for the change that He's already authoring. He wrote it before you existed. We just got to step into it. Hallelujah. So I'm considering this, and at the same time, LaRue's been speaking about the light, about stepping into the light and stepping into to Jesus. Both as the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega. In other words, stepping in, the word says to be with Him where He is. To be with Jesus where He is. But we have to recognize that Jesus is just as capable of being the Alpha, in other words, the beginning, as He is capable of being the end. But the deal is when you begin to search Him out and to come into agreement for Him to see from the place of the end, now you can begin to look back and say, ah, this is what I was supposed to do here. And He's talking about a place here in Isaiah 30 where there's 7 days of light. In other words, the Lord is speaking to you in at least 7 days worth of things that could happen out in front of you. I'm not here to teach all of His message over again, but what He's doing is He's just bringing us into an accountability to an encounter and be with Jesus where He is. And where He is may not be in today. It might have been in yesterday, or it may be in tomorrow, because it's even yesterday. He's there to shed light on whatever happened in your past that needed to be let go of. But when He's in tomorrow, He's there to shed light on where it is that you're going. Where it is that you're going. And my question to you is, when you're being healed, who do you want to be tomorrow? Who do you want to be tomorrow? Where are you stepping? Where are you going tomorrow? Because what you begin to believe for today will affect where you wind up tomorrow. Imagine what it would be like just to know. If you could just see one day ahead. As I was preparing yesterday, if I could have seen every person in this sanctuary this morning and ask, Lord, give me a word for each one of these people, we would just be prophesying our face off this morning. And God would be just going through, you know, because I can look and I can have an expectancy. There's certain people, you know, that I can pretty much trust that are going to be here, but not everybody's in that same category. So I could just begin to look and say, God, let me see with the unexpected. Let me step into the unexpected, because if I can see it, I can begin to stand in it. Hallelujah. That simple thing. That simple thing to be able to see one day ahead could totally redefine your life. If you begin to see one day or even an hour ahead of time, the hour before you walk into Walmart, you see the one person God called you there to go see and go visit and release a word to. What about that? When you're going out on the street and God said, okay, when you see this man and he's going to be wearing a Led Zeppelin t-shirt and you're going to walk up to him and you're going to say this. What if you saw that? And when he shows up, you can walk in the fullness of confidence now because God already sent you. He's already identified for you. And you know what's going to happen. What a beautiful thing. So let's begin to search out God's heart. So as I begin to look, I see in Isaiah 30 that all those things, both those thoughts come into one scripture here. Isaiah 30 verse 26. And the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be seven times brighter as like the light of 7 days on the day the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise that he has afflicted. In other words, when this day comes, it's a day of healing. When this day comes, it's a day of restructuring. When this day comes, it's a day that the Lord has been able to be released to let out those things that he already had intention for you. He's here already to release what he already promised you. Because see, if we back up in this chapter, we see something here. We see verse 18. He says, therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he waits on high to have compassion for you. For the Lord is a God of justice. And how blessed are those who long for him. How many of you are seeking some justice in your life? I think if everybody would be honest, you probably all would raise your hand because God is, he's looking. God is a God of justice. He puts a demand for justice in us, but sometimes we forget to look for it, but it is there. And some of us have an outsized search for justice. That might be me. And I'll try to create justice everywhere I go, even when there is not an injustice to start with. So you know, you just have to look, but you have to be honest with God and understand that, you know, this thing that he put in me, this desire for justice is something he has a desire for me. That means when I step into a situation that's wrong, I can know that he's going to be there and make it right. I can know that I don't have to do it all myself. That's the issue that I've always had, is I've always tried to do it by myself because I see the injustice, therefore let me step on it. Let me fix it. But no, I can begin to look to God for the resolve. So I can look to God for the resolve. Say it with me. I can look to God for the resolve. Because see, there are some of you in here who need to recognize that. Hallelujah. I can look to God for the resolve. I don't have to do it myself. I don't have to even touch the thing. I can just bring it to a father. I can tell you this week, I can tell you I've seen some amazing things happen over the last several weeks, but even this week, because there were some things that were going on, and I was like, Lord, this doesn't sit well with me. And I just began to lift it up, and I said, Father, I'm just bringing this to you. I'm just speaking love. I'm going to speak love and blessings over them, Lord. I'm going to release blessings on their life, Lord. Because, Lord, this thing doesn't really feel real good, but I'm going to just release love. You know what? I didn't even have to address it. It fixed itself. It fixed itself. I got a call and 5 minutes later, I got a phone call. And 10 minutes later, I got a text. It doesn't matter what happens. You know, it's that God is resolving it. Without me having to do it. Hallelujah. It's amazing what people will do. Sometimes, you know, when a prayer goes up, you know, you never know who's going to be answering it. Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. So let me think. So there's this right here. This light that's coming forth, that's going to be seven times brighter. In order, it's going to be shining into our life. And it's going to be revealing things that need to be revealed. It's going to reveal the truth about the past so we can be free of it. It's going to be reveal the truth about the present. And it's going to be revealing the reality of what is to come. As this light comes out into our life, there's a reason that it comes. We just read it a moment ago. How blessed are those who long for him. How blessed are those who long for Him. Those who will long for Him. Those who will look for Him. Those who will wait and have an anticipation for Him. Those who will look and allow their heart to rest upon Him instead of what they can do. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Well, we translate that "be still" as in cease moving. And that's a good thing for a way. But what it actually translates today, we would say it like this: relax. Relax. Relax and know that I am God. Relax. Because why? Because when we relax, now we're allowing Him to move in and to begin to do it on our behalf. We're no longer striving. We're no longer pushing. We're no longer creating something that basically is not going to look like God if it came from us. We turn to relax. See, there's a great power in relax. And sometimes even ungodly people can release that power not even knowing, because there was a day when Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback, he was being, in 2014, he was being accosted because the team wasn't doing well and he was doing particularly bad. There were already three games in the season and they had only won one game and he looked terrible in all of them. And so he's on his radio show and they're giving him this hard time about it, and he just said, "I have one word." And he spelled out relax. And he began to say, and you know what? They won all but one game after that. They won like 11 games in a row to finish the season. Made the playoffs. Didn't quite make them. But the deal was, he engaged something. He empowered something simply because he came into an agreement with a principle that God releases over us. Hallelujah. All that was free. It wasn't extra. It wasn't what I was told to go. But there's what I see here is a couple of things. What I see here, it says, therefore, in other words, blessed are those who long for Him, those who will seek Him out, those who will make Him primary in their life, those who will push Him to the front of their life. Because, see, here's the background of why this is being said. The background is that Israel, at this point, in Israel was about to be carried off. And they were trying to escape into Egypt. The reason that they were about it, the Assyrians were coming. The Assyrians were coming into their lives. In other words, that's their plan. That's just the revealing of the enemy was coming. But the enemy was coming because they were continuing to be in idolatry. They were continuing to trust in everything but God. That was the whole crux of what was going on. They were allowing everything but God to make their decision and make their choose for their life, their choice for life. So God was saying, if you will just trust me, if you'll just trust me. And effectively, He said, if you'll just relax, because if you'll back up to verse 15, it says, in repentance and rest, you shall be saved. In other words, quit trying to go to Egypt. Quit trying to find your salvation in oppression and bondage. Quit trying to find your salvation in oppression and bondage, because that's what Egypt represented. How many times do we want to go back to what we used to do when the pressure goes on? See, if we're doing that, we're finding our relief in oppression and bondage. That's what keeps the spirit of addiction working. That's what keeps a lot of people trapped in their life and without moving forward, because they keep trusting in something that didn't work in the first place. Hello? Are your toes burning yet? If your toes are burning, just stomp them a little bit. It'll be okay. See, it says in verse 12, put your trust in oppression and guile, and relied on Him. That was what it meant to represent and go back and trust that Egypt was going to deliver you. And God's saying, don't trust, don't try to go to Egypt, because guess what? Egypt's going to get carried out. Egypt's going to go into bondage the same as the rest of you are if you don't stop what you're doing. he was basically making them know this. He said, if you'll just stay in place and trust me. Don't run somewhere. Trust me. He said, but there was a couple of things he began to address in verse, I believe it's in verse 10. He said, in verse 10, he said basically that they were speaking to the prophets and say, don't prophesy to me. Don't get up in my face. When we start denying the word of the prophet, when we start separating ourselves from that which God has sent to us to warn us and to bring us into closeness. This morning, the word that came from Tina was go. Go for it. Step into it. Focus on the promise and not on the wilderness. We want to pay attention because, see, the Lord is speaking the same thing through two different people here in the same morning. She didn't know what I was going to talk about. I didn't know what she was going to talk about. It didn't matter. But see, it's time for us to not focus on the wilderness. It's time for us to look to the promise. Because why? Why? Because the Lord's here to destroy the gates of the enemy. The Word says in Genesis 20 that He'll give, or 20, 21, somewhere in there, that He'll give us the gates to let us possess the gates of our enemy. It's time for us to possess the gates of the enemy. Because if we possess the gate, we get to decide what goes in and what comes out. When we're deciding what goes in and what comes out, the enemy is not going to be the one getting in. His goods can no longer come in to where we are. Because we decide who and what comes in. And he says that the Lord has an assignment, and it's going to lead you to life. It's going to lead you to life. Because every day is a release from the Lord. Every day is a release from the Lord. If we'll start having an expectancy, what that word that speaks to my heart is a word of expectancy. When we have an expectancy when we wake up that we're going to see God. When we have an expectancy when we go to church that we're going to receive from God. When we have an expectancy when we go into the store or go into our workplace that we're going to be able to release from God. We should have an expectancy every day that we're going to be part of an encounter with God, no matter where we are. You might be coming into church. You might be going into your work. It doesn't matter where you're going. You may be going on vacation, but you can still be reused as a release from God. When you have a need, you can still have an expectation that something from God is going to happen. See, we had to quit discounting ourselves and realizing God's here. There was one other thing. So we have two things so far that happened for that light to be released in our life. One is to hear the word of the prophet. Two, have a heart for God. In other words, have a heart that is looking to honor Him. I have a heart that is looking to long for Him, a heart that is looking to desire for Him, a heart that is after Him. Because see, in this desire, in this hunger, He's going to make something happen. In His hunger, your hunger is what draws His goodness. Your hunger is what causes Him to be able to respond to you. He wants to respond to you all the other times, but when you got a hunger, now you're available. Hunger is effectively making room in your heart. Then there was the next thing. Verse 21, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or turn to the left. This is the way, walk ye in it. That speaks of the Holy Spirit because, see, you're hearing the voice, but you're not seeing it. You're hearing the voice, you're not seeing where it's coming from, but you're seeing where He's pointing you. And you're recognizing, it's not over here, and it's not over here, it's right here. And when you begin to step in accordance with His way, you step in accordance with His direction, you're coming into an alignment with the Holy Spirit. And that alignment of Holy Spirit sets you up for the for the destiny of God to be released. Why? Because when we begin to respond by the Spirit, God said those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God will not be answering the call of the flesh. When we begin to do that, now we're beginning to do something that's positioned us to receive the light. We're doing something that positioned us to receive that Omega zone as the LaRue's been talking about. He's positioning us to receive an illumination of that which is in front of us, that which is behind us, and that which is around us. God is in all places. He's not limited by time. There's no reason for our understanding of Him to be limited by time. Time is a thing that doesn't exist in a heavenly perspective. I've always known since the early days that there was a revelation in my heart that God could reach back and heal something way back as if it was today and reveal the healing of it in my life. But somehow I just never had that expectation for Him to reach it into my tomorrow and reveal it today. But He will. He will. I remember I went right after Net One closed down, and I'm looking. Okay, when your company goes out of business, why then your identity is caught up in that thing. I know. I'm telling on myself again. And your company and your identity is tied up in that thing. I was looking for a new opportunity, and so Kim and I went to Phoenix, and as we're in Phoenix, we're meeting with a man and talking about setting up some new businesses and all these things that I had great plans for in my sight, but it wasn't the plan that God had. But how many know God has a new plan? And He began to reveal something to me because we went into this restaurant and we got our food, and I hadn't even quite sat down, and all of a sudden, I just wasn't there. I don't know exactly how long that lasted in the natural. I don't know how my plate got all the way to the table because I just ceased to be there. He was taking me out. And what He did is He began to just reveal the next 15 years to me. And He began to just do, 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 do. And what it was is like there was a scene that was right here, and I knew approximately the time it was and what my response needed to be to that scene. And then He moved me a year or two forward, and He taught me some new lessons for what was going to be released there, and another couple of years forward. And I just knew in this time period that we covered about 15 years. And when I got back, I couldn't say exactly what all those things were. I just knew that I had absorbed them into my spirit, that in my spirit I already knew what it was I was supposed to do in response to the things that were going to happen, things that I couldn't even anticipate. But God is revealing it to you. Why? Because it's His desire to set you on a new course. He knew my heart was open to Him at that time, even at the same time I was trying to explore the things that I knew to do in the natural. And so He wanted to download into me something that would set me on the right course. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. And Lord, it's almost the end of that 15 years, so come on, let's do it. Come on, let's do it. I want to see the next 15. But I want to remember more of it so I can tell the people, hey, this is about to happen. This is about to happen. Hallelujah. God has a plan for your life. That plan is already being revealed. The promotion is already here. The time for you to step into it is now. The time for you to get with Him and go is today. The time to have an expectancy is this moment. If you'll have an expectancy when you wake up tomorrow, have an expectancy when you wake up Monday, have an expectancy when you wake up Tuesday, have an expectancy when you wake up Wednesday. It doesn't matter what day it is you're waking up. Have an expectancy that day for Him to move is today. Why? Because He wants to answer your hunger. He wants to shed light into your hunger. He wants to bring all these things together. He wants to bring you into a place of greater healing in your hunger. See, your hunger will allow things that we won't have otherwise. When I'm hungry for God and when I'm hungry for His presence, when I'm having an expectancy for His presence, I'll allow Him to do something in my life that if I'm just don't care, I'm not going to allow Him to do. The hunger brings order. It brings restoration. The Word says that He's given you the authority, the choice, to become children of God. So the choice is when we start to respond to the hunger. When we respond to hunger, now we can be led by the Spirit. And when we're led by the Spirit, there's a change coming. There's a change being released. There's a fire being released. And so this morning, Lord, I just release fire into the lives, into the hearts, into the minds, into the thoughts, and into the anticipations for every person in this room, especially for the young people, Father, because they don't even know what is fixing to shake loose on their behalf. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you. Get ready for